Chapter 15, The Power of Positive Self-Talk. Dr. Halliwell says people with ADHD need to engage their minds to feel alive and that life is worth living. When our minds aren't engaged in an exciting or creative activity, we launch into worry. I am not a worrier, but when my mind is not engrossed in a stimulating activity, my life is flat. Many with ADHD are dysthymic, in a mild chronic state of depression, without realizing the cause is their unengaged mind. I feel overwhelmed and irritable with too many irons in the fire. With too few, life is dull. I cannot tolerate boredom. I get into action by doing something or too many things that interest me. I swing between being overwhelmed and underwhelmed, trying to find the right balance. Someday, perhaps, I will figure it out. Inconsistent or variable performance is one reason people with ADHD have low self-esteem, despite doing extraordinary things. Because we perform inconsistently, we do not know what we can take credit for. Not understanding why we are successful sometimes and unsuccessful other times makes us lack the confidence to repeat our successes. When we do something well, we think, it's a fluke. I overcame my feelings of inadequacy when I consistently performed well in a variety of situations. I counted on myself, and people relied on me, but this change took several years. Selma Freyberg wrote a classic book in 1961 on child development, The Magic Years, that is still popular 60 years later. I heard her speak when she presented at a local university, and she had the audience do an exercise that transformed my life. She told us to close our eyes and think of someone we loved. We visualized this person coming into the room and sitting in a chair opposite us, and then we told the person why we loved them. I imagined my mother in the opposite chair and told her why I loved her. Miss Freyberg told us to bid this person goodbye and invite ourselves to sit in the opposite chair. She told us to tell ourselves all the reasons we loved ourselves. I could not do it. I struggled and struggled, and finally said, "I'm a talented cook." To be comfortable with the truthfulness of this statement, I added, "but not all the time." I could not go further. After a lengthy pause, I said, "I'm an acceptable parent." Again, I amended this statement with, "but not often enough." I could not think of anything else positive to say, a single quality I could praise without qualifiers. Even though we sat with our eyes closed, I believed everyone around me knew I had nothing positive to say about myself. Many people with ADHD have the ingrained habit of putting themselves down. Miss Freyberg spoke about negative self-talk and the need to be aware of it. Driving home, I decided to give equal rights and equal attention to my thoughts about myself. From that day on, I said something positive to counterbalance every negative thought I had about myself. At night, before falling asleep, I reviewed my day and came up with a positive statement for each negative one. With time, all negative self-talk disappeared. Reading Learned Optimism: How to Change Your Mind and Your Life by Martin Seligman provided additional help. This is when I truly learned to eliminate my negativity and replace it with positive thoughts. His simple ideas made a dramatic difference for me. Whenever something went wrong, I talked myself up, not down. I made statements about things within my control that would lead to a better outcome the next time. I may have screwed up this time, but that does not mean I screw up all the time. If I didn't do well on a test, I could study harder and get a higher score on the next one. Whenever I had a problem, I pretended it was a fire. What could put out that fire as quickly as possible? What could I say or do to minimize the problem? What could I say or do to move beyond the problem and maintain my self-esteem? When I was successful at something, I took full credit. To use the fire analogy, I made the fire bigger. What could I say to make my success more wonderful and meaningful? What could I say to take as much credit as possible for my success? For example, I did well because I started on time, or I got the right people to help, or I have brilliant ideas. After recalling everything that contributed to my success, I focused only on my positive thoughts. It amazed me how quickly I stopped the negative self-talk. My new focus on my strengths instead of my weaknesses improved my self-esteem. Step one, of course, is to realize our negative self-talk. Dr. Amen calls them ANTs, automatic negative thoughts. John, a participant in our support group, said, "I work for the worst boss anyone can imagine. He criticizes me no matter what I do, and I can never please him." Then he added, "I'm self-employed." There is a technique that helps people notice their negative self-talk and stop it. Put a rubber band on your wrist, and whenever you say something negative about yourself, snap it. After John had worn the rubber band for several days, I asked him how it was going. He replied, "I have a sore wrist." Perhaps some people say I was successful before my diagnosis, but to me, my earlier successes were hit and miss and did not build on one another. Now my successes multiply because I can count on them. Gaining high self-esteem is a sequential process. With each improvement, I increased my confidence and capabilities. I take a step, recognize my improvement, and praise myself for my progress. My self-confidence increased as a result. I was improving my life after my diagnosis. Each step takes me slowly towards satisfactory functioning and higher self-esteem. Self-esteem should not be confused with self-confidence. Self-confidence is recognizing your competence, and self-esteem is believing in your worthiness. We build self-esteem the old-fashioned way. We earn it through dedication, effort, and sacrifice. When we have developed self-esteem, we feel whole and satisfied. We show our gratitude by giving generously back to the world, being gracious in victory and graceful in defeat. Self-esteem is crucial to how much or how little contentment we have at the end of our lives. I read that Angela Madsen, a Paralympian, died at age 60 while rowing from Los Angeles to Honolulu. I looked up the book she wrote, Rowing Against the Wind. One of the reviewer's comments on Angela's book perfectly captures how I want to inspire people with ADHD. We should not listen to what others say about us. We need to look inside and see what we are made of and go for it. ADHD is not a behavior disorder, a mental illness, or a specific learning disability. It is a developmental impairment of the brain's self-management system. It is a neurological disorder that impacts the parts of the brain that help people plan, focus on, and execute tasks.